listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi there. Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. That is what it is all about. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. If you would like to call in and talk with me today, that number is 323-203-0815. That is 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is on your mind and what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. It's what's eating at you. It's not what you're eating that is the problem. It is why. So today, I want to talk about Mother's Day. Mother's Day is coming up. Mother's Day is this Sunday, unless you're listening to it after Mother's Day, in which case Mother's Day was in the past. For many of us, myself included, being a mother is one of the most amazing experiences in life. Being a mother is transcendent. It is amazing. And I know there are people out there who have fur babies rather than human babies, but mothers come in all forms. Being a mother can be amazing. Having a mother, on the other hand, having a mother, that is not always so amazing. So here is the thing about mothers. Parents do the best they can given their own unique history and experiences. But despite their best intentions, things don't always go well. And food is a substitute for love. Food is a substitute for mothering. Remember, why food? People often ask me, why food? Why is food my thing? That is because our very first experience of food is being fed while usually being held by a parent, by a mother, by a parent, that holding someone in your, being held in someone's arms, being safe and protected and being fed all in our psyche feels like food equals people. Food equals relationship. We don't think of it that way consciously, but think about our language. We say comfort food. Comfort food really is a wish to be comforted. So when we can't mother ourselves by being nurturing and supportive to ourselves with words, we turn to food to cope. Food is our first experience of blissful safety and love. And so when we turn to food, on some level, we're trying to mother ourselves. We're trying to nurture and comfort ourselves. It is a way of coping, of course, that also hurts us. So I want to talk about some different types of mothers that you might have had. And by the way, if you had a great, wonderful, nurturing, loving mother, well, good for you. You are lucky. You are among the blessed. But if you struggle with food and maybe you had some issues with your mom, let's talk about it and let's see if we can get to the bottom of it. Because when you realize what you're dealing with, it's easier to change. So here are some kinds of mothers. The first kind is indifferent mothers. So indifference can come from many places. Depressed mothers, for example, are incapable of summoning the kind of energy necessary to be interested and invested in their children. And so they are indifferent. They're depressed, and it comes off as indifference to their kids. Mothers who were themselves raised by indifferent parents can also be indifferent. Mothers who had intrusive parents might swing the pendulum all the way the other way, giving their kids too much space. So if they had this intrusive mother, so they're like, oh no, I'm going to give my kids space. And they give them too much space. They overcorrect. And the kid feels just the indifference, being like being dropped, not enough interest. So if your mom did not show enough interest or curiosity in you, you may yearn for a level of connection and mothering that is unavailable. And that emptiness, because when we want something and we don't have it, it feels empty. And that emptiness may be filled with food symbolically. And that provides a temporary fulfillment. Even the way we use our language, right? We talk about being fulfilled in relationship, and we talk about being filled up with food. Those things are connected. Another kind of mother is intrusive. The opposite of indifferent is intrusive. And hey, there is a reason the word mother is contained in the word smother. Josh, I know you're calling right now. Hold on. I just want to get through these types of mothers, and then I want to talk to you. So hold on. Mothers who read diaries, mothers who demand to know what their kids are doing or thinking, mothers who are just always in your face and want to know where you are and call you constantly and just in your business, in your face. That kind of mothering is often identified with restricting, which is a way of keeping out, symbolically keeping out intrusive questions, dealing with boundary violations. Like, you're not going to let anything in, so you want to keep it out. But of course, restricting food leads to binging. Dieting inevitably leads to binging. Then there's the intrusive and indifferent. And those are mothers who are overly invested in certain aspects of your life, and then they neglect other aspects of your life completely. And often the ones that they ignore are the ones that really you need the most attention on. And this inconsistency can be very confusing, and it can lead someone to turn away from relationships and turn to food instead. Food is not intrusive and indifferent. Food, unlike people who can be unreliable, unavailable, and what's the third one? I just blanked out. There's usually three that I have. Food is reliable. Food is available. So I have a couple of other, three more types of mothers, but before we get to them, I'll get to them later. First, I want to talk to Josh, and I'm going to relate how these types of mothering really affect your relationship with food, even on an even deeper level. Okay. And Josh is on the line. What's up, Josh? Oh, wait, Josh is no longer up. Josh hung up. Josh, if you're listening, call back. I want to talk with you. And if anyone else wants to call in, that number is 323-203-0815. I would love to hear from you. Josh, if you're listening, please call back and let me know what's going on. What is eating at you? Okay, moving on. Little girl mothers. These mothers pull for you to take care of them. Oh, Carly Gash is calling. Hi, Carly Gash.
Good morning, Dr. Nina and listeners.
Good morning, Carly Gash. What's going on?
Yesterday I had to leave my job because there were problems with the company, and like authority closed part of them. So they kind of gave my, my account and the system to those people who were there before me years and years and making much more money because it's commission-based job. And I was so stressed yesterday. My stomach hurt. I felt terrible, no energy. It was just very hard. But because I have physical pain in the stomach.
Carly Gash, I want to interrupt because I want to say, I want to hear the rest of what you have to say, but I think it's very important for you to turn your physical sensations that you just described into emotions. So you said your stomach hurt and you had no energy. as a result of having to leave your job. What if you translated those bodily sensations into thoughts and feelings?
You are so right. So I attempted to do it yesterday, because previously we already went through it when, you know, body expressed what I feel. And I noticed that I'm actually still learning, to feel and express my emotions. And I noticed that my whole life I powered through just using my body for expressing how I feel. It just dawned on me, not dawned on me yesterday, but I just saw it clear as day. And I was like, wow, I need to stop doing this, because body is not designed to process emotions. That's not what it's made for. It's biologically serving, keeping my life, and I cannot like misuse it.
So Carly Gash, so when you say your stomach hurt, you were hurt. Your feelings were hurt. You were hurting.
Of course I was hurt. I was hurt because my colleagues, they were like so nasty. They never told me that. They just disabled my account. So yesterday I was home. I didn't want to go there because, you know, like the way they talk is not nice. And just the way they treat me. And overall, it's not that official, like company, not very like where they, like, you know, where they do everything procedures as should. Of course, I was hurt. It hurt me that they never told me when I came. My manager was just shouting at me again. And he's so critical. He always points out only where I failed. But I don't even consider it a failure. I consider it a success. But because he wants, like, somebody experienced who already brings a lot of money, he just hates on me. But the truth is that he's not able to bring someone experienced because nobody wants to follow his lead. Those people who are experienced will never follow the person like him. So I was his best shot, honestly. And just, I was so hurt that he was constantly like complaining how he wants to grow. And I couldn't even tell him that, dude, if you want to grow, just do it. Don't talk about it. But the other thing, if you cannot do it, because like in many years, you couldn't do it anyway. So, and I was hurt because I really invested 2 months of my life, waking up at 5 a.m., being there at 6, working 11 hours a day, very hard, and I really had progress. And then just thrown away like this.
How is that familiar? When we go to work, we inadvertently bring our family dynamics with us. So we experience bosses as parents and siblings as coworkers as siblings. Oh. And so you can get really re-traumatized in a work environment if you have, say, a critical parent and then you have a critical boss. So, you know, what comes up for you as far as that and as far as what I was talking about earlier with Mother's Day?
Yes, I wanted to bring that up too earlier when you were talking about this depressed mothers. My mom is schizophrenic. She's depressed big time. And she's like, only now, being in my 30s, I realize how far, far off, this completely far off this reality she is and she was. And that she is so like, how the hell I even grew up and how the hell I was able to keep my sanity being and growing around people like her and her family. That's just incredible. And my situation at work is, of course, familiar to my mother. She's kind of, simply speaking, she doesn't give a fuck if I'm alive or dead. I clearly know that she wants to use me. That's what she gave birth of me for. But I'm so annoyed when she says, I love you. And when I ask her, why did you give birth to me? What was your reasoning? She's like, I wanted a girl. I'm like, but that's not the reason how you bring kids. I mean, you were not prepared. You didn't have a husband. you left with your big family, how the hell were you going to raise a kid? She never well thought those questions. She never could answer me. And she could always say, well, I wanted to have a girl.
And I in terms of the three kinds of mothers that I discussed, and there are still a couple more, the indifferent, intrusive, and then the alternately indifferent and intrusive, which one of those resonates with you?
I think she was indifferent and intrusive, both, which made it harder. Because when people are psychically disturbed in one way, it's easier to spot them. Because this person, say, is always aggressive, intrusive, all the time, it's easier to spot. But she was indifferent, 100% indifferent. It's such a loud indifference where she never asked me how I was doing. She never asked me if I'm doing well at school. Do I need anything? I would be the one who always facilitated. I would say I need a new dress to go to school. Or when she was depressed, I just decided at the age of 8 that she's not providing for me. So I decided to work with her. And I was selling stuff and I had my money so I could buy, stationery for school. It's basic stuff.
So, Carly Gash, then when you have this kind of a mother, and again, I remembered the third one, when people are unavailable, inconsistent, and unreliable, people are unavailable, inconsistent, and unreliable, food is available, consistent, and reliable, predictable. When people are unpredictable, food becomes safe because it is predictable. You're never going to, have some vanilla ice cream that tastes like Spanish rice.
It's going to be what it is.
And so you can understand how you came to have more of a relationship with food and your body because of this inconsistent schizophrenic mother who was chaotic and non-nurturing. And so the idea is for you to be the available, predictable, reliable, consistent person to you that you never had. And Josh is saying we really are wanting love from our parents. Yes, exactly, Josh. And what happens when we don't get it? We get it from food instead. And I hope you call back, by the way. So Carly Gash, recognize that, again, if you're turning to food, it's for a reason.
Yes, I turned to food yesterday. I was in so much pain. I really honestly didn't know what to do. I realized that it's a stress pain, it's emotional pain, but then I was sitting and why it's not going away? So I went and ate some sugar. But honestly, Dr. Nina, even food is not helping me recently. I think it's because I started feeling my emotions better. So this old coping mechanism where I used to eat food and numb myself or overeat, it's not working anymore. Everything hurts. My body hurts. My soul hurts. Emotion. I feel sad, emotionally down. And then I stuff myself. And on top of that, I hurt from this additional pain and it doesn't feel okay anymore. So I already know that food is not going to help me. So next time when it hurts so much, what would I do if I talk to myself, if I somehow identified my emotions, but I still have pain? How would I soothe myself? Because yesterday I had a hard time soothing myself.
Yes. Okay. So this is what you do. First, you recognize that your stomach ache is really a heartache, right? Your stomach ache is really the pain, the emotional pain that you are feeling because of the circumstances. And then because you had this intrusive and indifferent parenting, you don't know how to respond to yourself. But I think you do know how to respond to other people, because I have heard you do so multiple times in the Binge Free Babes and the Diet Free Divas. So you know how to talk to other people. What you do is you have to talk to yourself the way you would talk to someone else. If one of your friends, someone you care deeply about, was hurting, what would you do? Would you say, oh, here, eat this cake? I don't think so. You would use words. What would you say to a friend who is hurting?
I would give them a hug and support them, and I would say how beautiful they are, and like, fuck all those motherfuckers, you know, who hurt them, who doesn't know their value. And I would just support them, offer some solutions, and, you know, like, cheer them up and tell them that.
Okay, so what you would do, so, you know, we've talked about vary. Vary is validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. And that's what you have to do. Acknowledge and validate, validate and acknowledge. Of course, I feel this way. Of course, I'm hurting. I just was treated terribly in this job, and this is very upsetting. And anybody in this situation would be hurt and upset. Of course, I feel this way. I'm upset. I'm sad. I'm mad. I'm rejected. I'm angry. I'm, you know, whatever it is that I'm feeling, I'm going to pay attention to it. Of course I feel that way, and I'm going to express it, you know, and expressing it is, I'm so upset that they treated me this way. I am so upset that this happened. I feel this, you know, like, use words to express your feelings, and then reassure yourself. Don't go right to the reassurance. And then you say, and I am resourceful. I am smart, I am capable, and I'm going to figure out what to do next. I will land on my feet. This will somehow, I will look back on this and be, in fact, happy that it happened, because I'm going to create something better. If you just go to the, I'm going to create something better and positive thinking, then you overlook the validation and the acknowledgement of your feelings, which is one of the most important parts.
Thank you, Dr. Nina. I think what was missing is this expressing component, this part when I need to express my feelings. Because I'm still learning to express them now. It just feels as if I don't have the right to express them, because that's what I was told in my family. I was never allowed to express my feelings whenever I cried or something, you know.
So you've got to be the mother to yourself that you never had. You've got to give yourself permission to feel and think and then respond to yourself in a way that you never had. And by the way, if you need help expressing those emotions, go to page 45 of The Binge Cure. And I have all of those kinds of feelings over the next few pages, 45 through 47, where you just finish the prompt, and that helps you actually express it rather than stuff it. Stuffing feelings down never works. You have to, and neither does sitting in them. Many people have told me recently, well, what am I supposed to do with my feelings? Just sit in them? No, sitting in feelings, that sounds horrible. But you got to respond to those emotions and reassure yourself and comfort yourself. Okay, Carly Gash, you have your work cut out for you. I want you to use vary and express your emotions. Go to anger and sadness, because I think you're probably feeling both.
Thank you, Dr. Nina. I will do vary, but like for real, you know, each step I will do mindfully and really meaning it. And I will try do my best not to run away from my emotions, because that's what I've been doing my whole life, because I'm scared. It's something new. Nobody taught me how to feel them and express, but hey, I need to learn something, right? One day I didn't know how to read, but I learned it. So what if I, instead of being scared, just try it one time and see how it goes? It doesn't have to be perfect. It has to be something to start with.
You learned this way of relating to yourself. And luckily, because of brain plasticity, which is the fancy term that means we can learn new stuff, you learn this way. You can unlearn it and learn a different way. And responding to yourself, expressing your feelings, and not cheerleading yourself, because that cheerleading is, oh, you're awesome and you could do anything and F them. And that doesn't actually help. You've got to acknowledge the pain, the rage, the whatever it is that you're feeling as a result of this, and then give yourself reassurance. Not cheerleading. Express it. And then express it, acknowledge it, validate it, and then reassure.
Mm-hmm.
You got this. I know you can do this. Practice makes progress.
Thank you. I will do my best. Thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
I'm sorry about the job, but it is very hurtful. It is very upsetting to suddenly be shut out and have no job overnight. And I totally believe in your ability to get a better job for yourself. You are smart. You are capable. You are very hardworking. You can get something better, and it hurts that it happened that way. So
thank you so much, Dr. Nina, for your support.
You're welcome, Carly Gash. Good luck, and let us know how it goes, okay?
Thank you so much. Sure, I will. I'm sending you hugs and lots of love. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Give yourself some of that love as well.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So often, and you could see, well, Carly Gash is giving me all the love in the world. Where is that love for herself? And ask yourself, is that you? Do you do the same thing? Are you completely 100% there for other people? You just take their side, and you're supportive of them, and you listen to them, and you're there for them. But when it comes to you, something totally different. Josh is back. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Dr. Nina. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Good. So, I was sort of moved by last week's show, and I feel like I feel like I'm almost depressed, almost. And I'm sometimes when you have a big breakthrough, you can feel sad, but I feel like I've almost felt it my entire life, and I almost want to go see a psychiatrist or something.
Why would you want to go see a psychiatrist?
I don't know. Just to have an evaluation and maybe go on antidepressants. What is that? I mean, I don't know.
I think if you feel like you need to go on or get an evaluation, then you should do that. But I also want to normalize, and I don't know your situation, so I can't really speak to that, but often people think that when they have normal human emotions, that there's something wrong with them, because we live in a society that vilifies emotions and acknowledges as strength the ability to not feel something. Well, actually, strength is the ability to feel difficult emotions, to think painful, difficult thoughts. And so sometimes when you start to feel something, it's scary. It feels big. It feels overwhelming. Instead of you're feeling something that you've suppressed, and now you've got to work through it. And maybe this is part of the normal process of being a human being on this earth. And people get depressed situationally. People get happy. People get sad. But we live in a culture that says if you're angry, you need anger management classes. If you're sad, you must be depressed and you must need medication. You could be sad without being depressed. Or you're anxious, take a pill, as opposed to work through that anxiety, work through that depression, work through whatever it is that you're experiencing. Some people, yes, do need medication, but not everybody who thinks they need medication needs medication. Maybe you need to first check out what it's like to feel your feelings.
Yeah. I want to feel better. So however, that could come about. And I imagine that even if I was on antidepressants, I would still be asked to feel my feelings. It's almost like you don't go on antidepressants unless you're not able to feel your feelings. It's a help to do that. It's usually an aid for therapy. You know what I mean?
Yes. And, when people are
right, am I right? Yeah,
you are correct. When people are so depressed, they can't do the work of therapy. That's when medication is very helpful. But other times, it's about normalizing the experience that you're having and learning a new way to respond to yourself when you have certain feelings. Thoughts and beliefs, some of which are conscious and some of which are unconscious and hidden from us, create emotions, which then create behavior. That's why when we think about, people come to me with what they think is a food problem or a no willpower problem or something along those lines, it's actually, the eating is a solution to the real problem, which is whatever the thought and then the feeling is. But there are other ways. Yeah. You change the way you feel. A pill cannot change your thinking. A pill changes your brain.
I remember my problem when I think of your problem about being too big and my problem was I felt like I was too small. And last night I realized maybe why I did think that. I think I felt too small because I made myself too small to fit into my parents, what was more sort of convenient for them. And I don't know if it would mean that you had to become big to fulfill your parents' needs, but that's how it was for me.
I wasn't big. I perceived myself as big. Right. So what you're referring to, just for people who don't know what you're referring to, is that I thought that I was big at the age of 5. I thought that I was fat and I wasn't. And I later realized that I was getting a lot of messages of, you're too emotional, you're too loud, you're too wild, you need to calm down. So this notion of you're too much for us to deal with, became literally in my 5-year-old mind, became literally, there must be too much of me. So if I shrink, somehow I'll be better. But I experienced myself as too much, literally, because that was the message. And you experienced yourself as not enough, too small, enough.
Yeah. But for me, I feel like there might have been another step. And the other step would have been, before I saw myself as too small, I made myself too small to fit into a parent's expectation or convenience. Mm-hmm. And then I recognized that I was too small. I recognized what I had done to myself. And that was the extra step.
You say what I had done to myself, as if you should have had an adult mind as a child. you found a creative way to try to fit in to expectations. That creative way, that way of coping also hurt you. But you, when people say, well, I did this to myself, and they're full of blame, what they miss is they did the best they could given their abilities and capacities at the time. And children can't think like adults.
Yeah, and you know, if I hadn't fit in, if I hadn't become small, say for my dad, I would have feared death. Because abandonment is death for an infant.
And being as big as your father could stir up other kinds of feelings. I know that you're a reader of psychoanalysis, so you know, back to classical analysis and Freud and the Oedipal complex, and you can't compete with dad because being bigger than dad, literally or figuratively, is you know, destructive to dad. So there are other unconscious motivations for you to stay small and not be big. And then for you to want to be big later.
Yeah. And then once I had seen what I had done, I didn't say, oh, you're stupid. Your dad's stupid. Go back to being big. I said, no, I'm going to eat to be big. So it was two mistakes, one on top of the other.
Not mistakes, adaptations. You adapted to your circumstances in a creative way, the best you could. Because kids do not have the wherewithal, or people do not have the wherewithal to have an objective view of their subjective experience.
Yep, that's right. And, you know, I think for me, what's important now is to allow myself to be big and to see how scary that must have been and why it was not on the table for a very young child. And it feels very liberating, Dr. Nina, just to be able to say, okay, I'm big, and recognizing that there aren't the same scary consequences to that there were, or what they were perceived to be for the child.
Yes, you can take up space in the world without worrying about punishment from other forces, from your father, for example. And by the way, this takes many forms. I mean, I've people who are afraid to be financially successful, be more successful than their fathers, because so they get successful and then they lose it all, or they can't let themselves be successful. I mean, it shows up in money a lot. It shows up in various different ways. And what you want to be is curious, not critical. Because when you're critical, all you do is you feel bad. If you say, I made a mistake, I screwed up, why did I do that? Why did I eat that? Why did I make that decision? All you do is feel terrible. But if you remember, it's not logical, it's psychological, and stay curious instead of critical, then you say, huh, what was that about? Why did I want to be big and then small? And then what does big mean? What does small mean? What was I avoiding?
Yeah, and I think, when you get into that situation, it's either I'm going to be big and he's going to be small, or he's going to be big and then I have to be small, which was the original adaptation. But you recognize, no, both of us can be big at the same time. You know what I'm saying? And that's, I think, the direction I want to go into.
I think that is a very excellent direction to go to, and that's quite an epiphany. And I can tell that you're really thinking about all of this. And you know, when you realize the symbolism of what's going on, it's very liberating. When it's just about your body, it feels, you feel stuck and terrible. But when you recognize, oh, I'm trying to help myself in this way that is also hurting me, let's find a workaround, or let's challenge some of these ideas, then things change. And so you're a really great example of that.
Yeah, and I think that that's the reason I was depressed. I'm not happy being small, Dr. Nina. I don't like it.
Then give yourself the right to take up space in every way, literally and figuratively, with your body and your mind, your thoughts, your beliefs. Give yourself the right to take up space.
Yeah.
That's probably, why don't you try that for a while and see how your mood goes? I mean, if you want to go see a psychiatrist, go see a psychiatrist, but you might find that challenging your thinking is going to give you the results that you want.
Yeah. I mean, I instinctively wanted to try psychoanalysis first, because that's not only just what I'm interested in, but it's something that you do. And I will try that first, and I will let you know how it goes. You know, I have some interesting ideas, like going for a walk or just kind of, you know, being maybe more assertive. But for me, it's really kind of just an inner feeling of knowing that I exist, not small, but just sort of I exist as I exist, almost, without having to quantify or qualify my existence.
That is a beautiful place to be. So hold that state and that feeling. And I think it's great that you want to enter analysis. Go for it. It's life changing.
Yeah, I do. I do want to begin analysis. And because I feel like, you know, if analysis was difficult and there was no way to do analysis, then like you were saying, and that I agree with you, then okay, you do medication maybe to allow the analysis to work. But you at least try the analysis first. And if there's real impediments to being able to be analyzed, then maybe medication can help. I think that's what you were saying, and that's what I agree with.
Yes, exactly. Well, let me know if you need any help finding an analyst in your area. And I think you'd be a great candidate for analysis. And for those of you who don't know the difference between psychoanalysis and therapy, I will reduce it to this, which one of my patients said to me. He had been in therapy, and then he was in analysis for a year. And at the end of the year, he said, therapy is like, it's like snorkeling. You get a little bit under, you know, a little bit under the surface, and you look around. It's pretty cool. It's good. It's good. I like therapy. He said, but analysis is deep sea diving to the bottom of the ocean where it's pitch black, and you have to shine a light to see what the heck is going on down there. And I love that analogy because it's true. But you also can't deep sea dive alone. And so analysis is like a deeply personal experience into the depths of your soul and your being in a formal setting. So keep me posted and you know, let me know how it goes.
Yeah, and I'll ask you about actual psychoanalysis for myself too.
Yeah, just write me or DM me and I'll come up with some options.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome, Josh. Good for you.
All right. Talk soon. Thanks.
Bye for now. Okay, I just want to finish the types of mothers. I think I have enough time. Little girl mothers. Those are the mothers that want you to take care of them. They share their problems. They ask for your opinions. They elicit your concern and your care for their well-being, but they don't take care of you the same way. And when you're always taking care of your mother, nobody is mothering you. And that leads to deprivation, which can be resolved by eating. Remember, food represents mothering. So that deprivation can be resolved by eating to fill that internal emptiness, symbolically fill the emptiness. The mini-me syndrome mothers, those are mothers who want their children to reflect them, to live up to their expectations of who their kids should be, which is basically them, be me, instead of being interested in kids' individuality. And this type of mother conveys the idea that there's something wrong if their daughters or sons don't share their mother's minds. So a woman who she wanted to learn how to play the drums, and her mother said, "Don't be ridiculous. I like piano, not drums." Clearly not understanding who's who. Another mother told her daughter, "You can't vote Democrat. We're Republicans." So these mothers couldn't tolerate the idea that their daughters had separate wishes, ideas, beliefs, ways of being in the world. And often the only way to assert yourself is by controlling the one area that your mother can't directly influence, and that's your weight. And this could be a way of saying, "Hey, this is my life and this is my body, and you cannot control my body." The last kind of mother is the ideal mother, nurturing mothers who consistently show an appropriate amount of curiosity and care about their children's emotional and physical well-being, who allow their kids to have their own identities, and who are responsive and there for them. So whatever kind of mother you had, the goal is to create a nurturing response to yourself, to be the nurturing parent to yourself that maybe you didn't get. And remember, this is not about blame. I don't point fingers at parents. This is not about going, they did this. Poor me. No, that doesn't help anybody. It's instead of blame, we want to think about explaining. Explaining is different from blame. Blame is, they did that to me and that's why I suffer. Explaining is, okay, this is what happened in my childhood, or this is what happened in my life, and this is how it affected me and how I internalized it, or how I internalized views of myself and the world. And I want to understand that in the service of understanding myself and then changing. Carly Gash is saying, "Will you have a post with the mother's descriptions in your Food for Thought community?" I absolutely will. Absolutely. I will post it in my Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community. If you are not a member of the Food for Thought community, by the way, please go on Facebook, search for Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community, and join a group of, I think it's around 800 people who are really men and women, by the way, men and women who get it, who are doing this work that I'm talking about, who are seeking to change their relationship to food by changing their relationship with themselves. Making peace with food means making peace with you. And that's what I'm here to help you do. I hope that I shed some light on that today, and that if you struggle with food, think about the kind of mothering you got and how that affected your relationship to you. So that is our show for today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. You can listen live every Wednesday at 11. At LA Talk Radio or Instagram, or you can listen later at Apple Podcasts. Just do a search for the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio on Apple Podcasts. And if you love the show, please, please take a few moments and give it a review, or at least a rating, because the more ratings and reviews that I get, the more I reach people, the more I help people. So win-win, right? So I would so appreciate your help with that. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day. Be good to yourself. Be curious, not critical. And I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.